This week's mailbag comes to us from Simone and Carl. OMG, I have to tell you how awesome you are. My husband picked up your mindset book back at the beginning of February to help me set up our Sunday basket, which is really a Friday basket for us. He then completely organized the kitchen and decluttered it without my knowledge. He is the cook, so I leave the kitchen to him. He then agreed to take the entire week off to help me organize the office, the laundry room, the sunroom, and our bedroom, which was a shock in itself. We got a lot cleared out, but we still have some work to do. He is now talking about clearing and organizing the shop. This is a man who has hoarder tendencies and has clothes in his closet he hasn't worn in the 10 years that I've known him. In addition to that, I was listening to your podcast and you mentioned a supplement by Onnit, which I immediately purchased and have been taking since the beginning of March. My brain fog is completely gone. My brain is focused again and throwing so many ideas at me, I don't have time to even write them down. I've taken steps to get a corporate box and it is in place. I've applied for a promotion at work that I feel I am being led to take, and I am able to get my stuff completed. I have also decided that I am not going to be a professional organizer as I had once hoped I would be. The Facebook group and my own thoughts and ideas are showing me I'm better suited for giving advice and encouraging than actually doing the physical work it takes to organize someone's house. I cannot thank you enough for everything that you have done for us in the past 7 years, and I am so looking forward to the next 7 years. Gratefully, Simone and Carl. Thank you so much for your email, Simone. Do you have an Organized 365 success story? We would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at lisa@organized365.com and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Oh my goodness, I have an exciting big announcement. It's actually our biggest announcement of 2019. We have payment plans. The number one request coming into my email is, can you please create a plan for me? I want to get started. I just don't have the funds right now. Can you please make a plan for me? And we have. For just $96 a month, you can now join us in the next round of the 100-day home organization program that starts May 13th. And for those of you who want the whole kit and caboodle, we have an all-access payment plan starting at $186 a month. Head on over to organize365.com right now to check out all the packages and plans. And now, on with the show. In April, I have really been diving into some more mindset type topics and not actionable, like how to sort a sock drawer or anything like that. We've been talking about how to totally eliminate your to-do list, what an organized life looks and feels like, and it might not be what you thought, and Sunday Basket 3.0, which is not a new product. It's just a new way of doing your Sunday basket after you've been doing it a while. I want to end this four-part series by talking about decluttering jobs and obligations. These are things that are lingering on our to-do lists and on our calendars, and we don't really want to do them anymore, but we don't feel like we have a good reason to get out of them. First, I want to talk about just general things that are on your calendar and on your obligation list, and then we're going to end with the specific thing about getting out of direct sales programs that you're in. So the first thing I want to say is, so often we just get going trying to make things more organized, more efficient, more productive, and we don't stop to evaluate if we should just eliminate it. Like, there are a lot of things on your list that you don't even need to organize. You just need to eliminate it. And it isn't until you actually have the breathing room to stop and step back and say, you know what? I really don't want to do this anymore, that you are actually able to make that decision to eliminate it altogether. So you might be thinking, I want to eliminate everything, or I don't want to eliminate anything. If you're thinking all or nothing, then I really want you to listen closely, because sometimes when you say I want to eliminate everything, it's just because you're totally overwhelmed and you don't even know how to make the choice. Or I don't want to eliminate anything because you, again, don't know how to make the choice. And I'm going to give you a distinction here that will help you in how to make the choice. I want us to talk about the difference between unique and competent. So this is something that I learned in Strategic Coach when you're figuring out what your, so you're figuring out your unique ability. And so many people who are in a unique ability are actually working in their zone of excellence, not working in their zone of unique ability. So if you're looking at a quadrant or you're looking at four things, there are four different things you could do. There are things that you are not competent in and are not your strength. For me, spelling, cooking, working out. I could give a whole list if you'd like me to. There are a lot of things that I am just flat out not good at. I don't care how much time you give me. I'm really not going to get any better at them. Spelling. I cannot spell. I've tried to learn. Forget it. Editors, assistants, that's my modus operandi. And I'll just speak. I'd rather speak. That way, no spelling needed. So totally incompetent. That would be that area. The next area is competent. So many of us spend the majority of our days in competent activities and obligations, striving for excellence. And excellence is not unique ability. So what is competence? Competence is when we're bored or we're nervous or we need something to do, we do something that we're competent in. And competent things can easily be outsourced to other people, batch, multitask. They're not your unique gift set. So laundry, dishes, cleaning. Now, you could be excellent at cleaning and you can have a unique ability in cleaning. But for the majority of us, we're just competent. Like there's nothing growing in our toilet bowls and the majority of our food is not expired. And you could serve your next meal without feeling like you need to Clorox your countertop. You know, like we live in a nice level of cleanliness, but we are not creating cleaning products for a living. We're competent at it. Now, I would say I got excellent at cleaning when I was cleaning other people's houses. I made it my profession. I figured out what cleaners I wanted to use. I got very good at it. It was never going to be my unique ability. Like I never was going to be the better housekeeping cleaner person company thing. Organizing. Being competent in organizing is putting things back where they go and, you know, straightening up your house at the end of the day. Excellent in organizing might be having a professional organization business, helping other people get organized, coming up with new organizational systems. A unique ability in organizing. I would say I have a unique ability in organizing in that I am able to not only understand how home organization in the United States works, but I understand organization for different age groups. I understand organization for different generation, the way different generations look at stuff. I understand how different products that are sold are used in different type of homes. Like I have a unique ability in understanding home organization at a different level than other people do. So we're going to not go to like what makes you uniquely you or the things that you are never going to be good at, which for me is spelling or for me is organization. Let's just talk about competence and excellence right now. So competent is something that you're good at and you tend to do all the time and people want you to do it. And so you do it and you just check it off the list. Excellence are the things that you are better at and more uniquely equipped at. And we should move more towards excellence and out of competence. Now looking at your calendar. So at this time, we're going to look at our calendar, look at our planner, and I want you to not just look at next week, but I want you to look at everything that's been on your calendar in the next year. You might want to take some time and just sit in front of your Google Calendar if you have one, or sit with your last couple planners and get out a legal pad and just write down every kind of thing that ended up on your calendar in the last 12 months, full last 12 months. So I was a room parent. I went to work. I drove my kids to school. I did the grocery shopping. I taught a Bible study. Everything that you've done over the last 12 months. Took my kids to the pool. We went on field trips. We took a vacation to Florida. Any way that you spent your time. All those different things that you did and how you spent your time. After you have this list, I want you to ask yourself the following questions. If you were asked to do this again today, like starting over again, would you still say yes? If someone is asking you to start this project today, you weren't already doing it, would you still say yes? Is this something that you would still say yes to? Because so often you become the cookie mom for the brownies when they're in second grade. And now they're in eighth grade and you don't even have a brownie person anymore, but you were so efficient at organizing the cookie drive that they're like, well, would you please just do the cookie drive for us? I know your kids aren't in brownies anymore, but would you please just do this because you're so good at it? Like nobody can do it like you can. And you're like, oh, stroke my ego. Yes, thank you very much. I will do it for you. If you were asked, like it was not already on your calendar and you were asked today, if you want to add this to your calendar, would you say yes? And if you would say no, then my next question to you is, can someone else do it? And the answer 99.9% of the time is yes. Someone else can do it. It's not your job to figure out who's going to do it. It's not your job to figure out if there is a person to do it. It's not your job to find out who's going to do it. But when you look at that list, can someone else do it? You guys, I quit my teaching job December 2011 because my kids needed me because someone else could be a teacher. Was it ideal? No. Did I find my replacement? No. Were people upset with me? Yeah, they probably still are. But I did it because somebody else could be the teacher for the rest of the year. No one else could be the mother to my kids and take them to their doctor's appointments. Can somebody else do it? If it's not involving your kids or your spouse or your own health, like your own doctor's appointment, 99% of the time you think you're irreplaceable, but you really are not. And I'm not saying that to be mean, but you're not irreplaceable. It's freeing to know you're not irreplaceable. Again, that should help you to go, you're right. Just because I've been a Eucharistic minister for 12 years doesn't mean there isn't somebody else that wants to be one. Just because I've run the library program, the summer library program for 15 years, doesn't mean there isn't somebody else who would want to do that job. So if you were asked to do it again today, would you say yes? And if no, can someone else do it? Not who's going to do it or when, but can they do it? Here is the bigger issue. Question number three is the bigger issue. Why don't you want to do it? And what will you do at that time? And I think that that is the question that we go to. We look at our calendar. We're like, oh, I really don't want to do that anymore. And I know somebody else could do it, but I should do it because XYZ. And if I don't do it, what am I going to do at that time? Like before you even talk to them, you are guilting yourself into staying in whatever that thing is that's on your calendar because you don't know how you'll fill that time if you aren't doing that thing. And whatever you might do in the future with the time you don't have and you haven't decided what it is yet isn't big enough and weighty enough and important enough for you to go to the person who you are volunteering or working for or whatever it is and saying, you know what? This just isn't really fitting in my schedule anymore. Because you feel like you have to follow that up with, because my parents are having heart surgery and I have to take care of them, or something that is like so huge and big that they couldn't possibly talk you into keeping that job. We're afraid that they're going to say, oh, come on, can't you please do it? And you'll be like, okay, fine, I'll still do it. No, it's okay to not want to do things anymore just because you don't want to. Not because there's some earth-shattering need that you have to give this up, or no is a complete sentence. You don't have to add things to it. And at this time of year, at the end of April, you are naturally coming to the end of almost everything. Most things, most obligations don't start in January. Most obligations start in August for the school year. Like even if You work in a 9-to-5. They don't schedule a lot of stuff over the summer because people are on vacations. So even speakers being booked at corporations, they schedule all of those around this time for next year. They don't schedule them in November for January to December. You plan your speakers for corporations in the spring for the following September to May. Everything runs September to May because June, July, and August is the summer. So now is the time that you can naturally get out of pretty much everything is on your calendar if you want to. So do you want to? Do you want to? As you're decluttering stuff around your house, that you're frustrated with yourself, that you spent time and money acquiring and bringing into your house and maybe never even used it, and what a waste of money. What about your time? What about the things where somebody, you were, is a weak moment, I don't know, you're having wine with girlfriends, they're like, hey, we should start a book club and you should run it. You're like, yeah, it sounds like a great idea. 6 years later, you're still running this book club. All those girls have moved on to something else. You're running it for these other people you didn't even really know. I don't want to do this anymore. Let's look at our calendar and declutter. Just find one thing. Make the whole list. Like, I was listening to somebody else's podcast. They gave me these kind of questions, and I literally saved the podcast, re-listened to it, and I sat down on Saturday and I did that. I want you to do this. I want you to, on a Saturday or Sunday or whenever, or on your lunch hour, I want you to pull out your calendar, and I want you to literally, on a legal pad, write down every single thing that you have done in the last 365 days. Like, you don't have to write every time you drove the kids to school, but I drive kids to school. I do grocery shopping. I work. I clean. I go out with my friends once a month. Everything. Get my nails done. All of it. Look at that list. And I want you to go line by line. If I were asked to do this again today, would I? Heck yeah, I'd get my nails done. Boy, is that fun. And it does take time. Like, you need to have like an hour a week, hour and a half sometimes to get your nails done. It's a significant amount of time. I love it. I would definitely say yes to that again. What about the next thing, the next thing, the next thing? Can someone else do it? Because sometimes you think no one else can do it, and pretty much unless it involves your spouse or your kids, somebody else can do it. And even with your kids, usually somebody else can do it. If you know anybody anywhere who has a nanny that is doing that thing for their kids, then you don't have to do it. I've told my story before where I didn't pick up Abby from school. Somebody else picked her up, got her a chicken sandwich, took her to the library, did all of her homework, brought her back. You may think, yes. Please, thank you. I would like that next year. Would you? Would you like somebody to pick up your middle school kid and get their homework done? And, you know, how much money do you have for that? And how much money is that, or time is that going to give you? And what are you going to do with that time? Now, in that case, that's going to cost money. So we're going to have to figure out where the money's coming from. For some of these other things, they're volunteer obligations where you are not earning an income and you are losing time. And I'm not about not volunteering. I'm all about volunteering. But you don't need to volunteer out of obligation. You should volunteer because you want to and you love the people and you look forward to it. Are you still looking forward to it? I'm not selfish. I'm not saying I have to look forward to everything and nothing's done out of obligation. But your whole calendar better not be done out of obligation. Like, is there one thing on that list you're like, oh my gosh, I have not wanted to do this since the day I signed up for it 3 years ago, but I have no idea how to get out of it. Okay, well, it's April if you're listening to this real time, or May or June. Like, if it is in the spring, this is the perfect time to say, oh my gosh, I have so much enjoyed working with you. I'm looking at my commitments for the summer and the fall, and I'm no longer going to be able to do this. And then don't say anything, because here's what happens is, and then they don't, like, they're like, well, can't you? And then you go, oh, well, if you really need me, then I'll stay for one more year. No, stop that. I'm sorry. I can no longer, you know, this isn't going to work in my next summer and fall schedule. You don't have to tell them what you're doing. You don't have to tell them why. You don't have to say, I listened to this crazy Lisa's podcast and she said I could get things off of my calendar. We're decluttering. When you declutter in your house, you have to justify to yourself that you're getting rid of things. I can't believe you're getting rid of that sweater. This is your own voice. I can't believe you're getting rid of that sweater. I mean, we just bought that sweater. It was $90. You only wore it once. You had to have it and you bought it on sale. You never even, okay, thank you very much. And we declutter it, right? But when we get things off of our calendar, it involves other people. And then other people say back to us, well, oh, I was really hoping that you could blah, blah, blah. Their guilt, their whatever, Do you need to do that? You don't need to do all of these things that are on your calendar. It is okay to say no. All right, I'm going to stop ranting on that. And we're going to go over to direct sales. So I'm going to read this email. And then I'm going to give you guys my thoughts on it and then the practical. Lisa, I just want to take a second and thank you. You are such an inspiration as a businesswoman. You have such a gift for teaching, relating, and organizing. I'm an all-accessor. I've devoured every podcast you've ever published. I've read all of your books. You've empowered me to transform my home and my family life and given me hope for an organized life when I had labeled myself as an unorganized, always late, constantly losing everything, hot mess of a wife and mom. I know where my important papers are. I think about my house in zones instead of random storage areas. I plan my week out and I cling to progress over perfection. Is my house perfect? Nope. Is it 10,000 times better since you came into my life? Yep. You found your niche and I'm so thankful to be part of your community. One day I'll make it to see you in person and give you a big hug. One thing I'd love to hear your thoughts on is the topic of quitting, specifically when it comes to direct sales. I have been with my company for 3.5 years now. I joined for the discount and found a whole new world of recognition and friends. However, I found the recognition and promotions to be unfulfilling. The extra income has been fun and allowed me to take my families on beach trips and buy things, but I'm struggling. I don't enjoy it anymore, and I feel like it's taking too much time away from my family and home. I'm not currently making a lot of money, but I'm not putting much effort into it either. I'm struggling with stopping and what that looks like. I know you've had several direct sales experiences. How do you know when it's time to quit? How can you transition out? What do I do with all this stuff? Papers, inventory, supplies, etc. What about my downline? Any tips or advice? Whoa, that is loaded. Loaded. Okay, I, at the RISE conference last year, which is now called Embrace, one of the questions on our, we had like this survey, this trivia thing, was how many direct sales companies have I been in? And the answer was 17. And then I remembered 4 more later. I mean, come on. That's a lot of direct sales companies. A lot. And I've been a leader in 4 of them. One I'm still in and I still am a leader. And no, you don't need to know what it is. It's a supplement company. And I still take it. And I love it, but I don't sell it. And I don't, I mean, I do, but I don't. You know what I'm saying. So I would say the company that I specifically joined as a business was Creative Memories. Like all the other ones that I did, well, that's not true. I joined Wildtree and 31 as a business also, and I ran them on the Organized 365 blog, and I was very successful in selling those in the way that I wanted to sell those as well. But in order, but as far as a direct sales company to join and build a team and build an income, it was Creative Memories. And I am unusual, noted. Most people who join direct sales, the majority of people who join direct sales do not do it as a business. It's like 5% of us that are like actively want to make a money. And when I was joining Creative Memories, it was before I had children. I was already a teacher. I was looking for a direct sales company where I could replace my teaching salary, which I did, and then some with Creative Memories, that I could do from home for these children that I was dying to have that I mentioned in a previous podcast. And it was either Longaberger or Creative Memories. And I went to my dad and I said, should I do Longaberger baskets or should I do Creative Memories? And he said, everyone from 8 to 80 has photos and they need to do something with them. Do Creative Memories. So I did Creative Memories. I did it as a business. I always made a profit. I built a downline. I know how to do direct sales. However, along the way, I learned all of the statistics, which are like 30% of people buy the kit and never do anything. Another 30% only make it through the first 6 months. So 60% of people who sign up in direct sales don't make it through 6 months in direct sales. That's a high percentage. Was not true on my team, but that's a high percentage. So this person is saying, I joined for the discount and I found a whole new world of recognition and friends. So the first thing I want to say is somebody who loves direct sales. I love direct sales. I've been in a lot of direct sales companies. Is that I feel people are over-recruiting in direct sales. It's a personal thought. A good direct sales company should be one where you can love a product and sell a product and make a profit and not have to recruit anyone. But the way the majority of these direct sales companies are created, you don't really make any notable money unless you recruit and until you reach the first or second level of leadership. And at that, and by any substantial money, I mean like $400 to $500 a month. Like, it's nearly impossible for you to make $400 to $500 a month unless you're at the leadership level. And if you want to make $1,000 or more, then you need to get to like the second or third rung of leadership. I know some of you are very mad at me right now. Some of you are also going, finally, somebody said it. I mean, I actually am sweating right now because I love direct sales. A lot of people that you are following as entrepreneurs, if you look, they were in direct sales. You learn so much in direct sales. You learn public speaking. You learn customer service. You learn sales. You learn so many things in direct sales. When you're in a good company with a good team, there's so much good in it. However, the financial business model of direct sales is recruiting, not selling the product. You earn some money from selling the product. In Creative Memories, we had someone, she sold so much product, like $10,000 a month. It was crazy. She sold so much product that Creative Memories sent a corporate person to her area to live there for like 90 days to teach her how to recruit, because she could make so much more money if she did those sales with the team. And then she shot up to like the number one in the whole company. But they recognized that you could only make so much money selling the product, and the majority of the money is made in the leaders. Look at the people in your direct sales company. Who makes all the money? The leaders, right? Are they selling $10,000 a month of product? Heck no, they are not, ever. They're not. It's not selling the product, it's selling the business opportunity, which is where you make the money. Here's why this is a problem. 5% of us get into direct sales to have a business. You clearly didn't get in there. I got in there for a discount. And this is the backhanded way people get people onto their team, is they say, oh, come on, you're a really good customer. You should become a consultant because then you can get the discount. And you're like, oh yeah, that would save me like $30 a month. Okay, that makes sense. All right, so then you get in. And as soon as you get in the door as a consultant, now you are being sold to the entire time. Oh, you need catalogs, you need flyers, you need to buy the promotion, you need to have all of our product lines so that when people see you out, that they know that you have the whole product line. You have to have the latest, so you can't have last month's model, you have to have this month's model. So now all of a sudden, that $30 a month you were saving because you were going to get the discount, you're spending $150 a month in order to have the latest and have enough and inventory. Financially, it just totally doesn't work. Furthermore, you're going from being a customer to being a business owner. I don't care if you're doing it at a discount. You're no longer a customer. And the way you treat a customer in direct sales, the way I treated my customers was, what is your need? You explain to me what you need. I give you what you need. You're working on a baby album? Look, we have baby boy stickers. We have baby girl stickers. I have pink and... Oh, you have a boy? Okay, I have baby boy stickers. Also, I've got this cute little gingham, and I've got a sapphire or a baby blue album. Which ones would you like? And you buy exactly what you want, and you do it. As soon as you become a consultant, you are now the expert on the whole Create a Memories line. And now you either have to have it or know about it, so that when your friend is now doing a heritage album, they need a genealogy tree and they want to have, you know, all grays and white papers because all their photos are black and white. And now they need a different kind of tape because your tape doesn't stick. They need to use the photo tape, and now you have to have photo tape. And you went from being a customer who was just flipping through the catalog going, oh my gosh, I want to get a new bag or new earrings or another scent of, you know, and learn another one of these essential oils and add to my collection, to I have to have every single oil and know what every single oil does for every single ailment for every single person who comes to me. You've become a business owner, whether or not you make money. It's no longer a hobby or a treat, is now a business. When I was in Creative Memories, I was a leader, but I did recruiting interviews. And so I did not just at the end go, and if you want to get a discount, sign up with me. I said, if you're interested in learning more about the business opportunity, let me know and we'll go to coffee. And I always went to coffee with every single one, and I took them through an interview. just like you would if you were hiring people in a job. And you might say, wow, that's a lot of work. Let me just tell you, 60% of people are not even going to make it out of your quick start program. So you're wasting your time signing them up anyway. So I did this coffee. And I would say, why do you want to be a Creative Memories consultant? What are your goals? Are they personal? Are they income? How many workshops do you want to have? How many parties do you want to have? Do you have an income goal that you want to hit? What does your spouse think about this? What time are you going to do it? When are your work hours going to be? Are they going to be just on the weekend? Are you going to do 3, 5, 10? Do you want to achieve leadership? Like, it was a true, these, you guys, I haven't done this in over 10 years. I have no notes in front of me. That is coming out of me because I just did it. Like, I lived direct sales. On my team, I had 100 team members. I had one person ever in the history of recruiting that bought the kit and did not activate. And I think I had three that didn't make it through year one. The rest of them all did. And some of them today are still Creative Memories consultants after I left. Still, I've been gone for 8 years. There's still some of my downline that are there. Because I didn't sign anybody up as a consultant that didn't want to, they didn't have to want to earn an income, but didn't know why they were getting into it as a consultant versus a customer. Because I had excellent customer service. I mean, to the point that some people wouldn't sign up for being a consultant because they didn't want to stop being my customer. They loved being my customer and they were afraid they were going to lose that customer touch. So my consultants, I actually did retreats for them and we had monthly monthly meetings and I had I would have them over for dinner once a year and we went on field trips and stuff. Like I did cool stuff for my consultants just like I did cool stuff for my customers. This is why you guys get so much cool stuff inside of Organize 365 because I learned all this stuff in direct sales. Like this is how I learned a lot of this by watching the great leaders. With all that said, after Creative Memories went through its second bankruptcy, and I was still earning money. I wasn't earning what I used to earn, but I was still earning, you know, about $1,000. I was still earning a lot of money. I could no longer recruit into the company because the leadership had changed and I did not like the direction that the company was going. And they also had changed their product line and I didn't like the product line anymore. So I tried to stay on in the company without adding people to my team and just keeping the team that I had and the customers I had and kept going at it that way. And people kept signing up anyway. Like they'd be like, I would say, no, I'm not recruiting anymore. They'd be like, that's fine. And they figured out how to do it on their own and end up on my team. And I no longer believed in the leadership at the corporate level. I don't even know who's there anymore. It's been a while. And so I deactivated because I didn't want people to continue signing up in the company. So when you are a consultant in a company, you are a representative of that company. And people see you as a representative of that company. So that's number one, is your downline, if it's still a good company and you just don't want to be in it anymore just because of your phase of life or, you know, a lot of these direct sales, you guys, just hear me on this, they're phases. Like I've been through 21, clearly, maybe a few issues. They're a crafting phase, they're a collecting phase, they're a fashion phase, they're a health phase, they're whatever. Like you are not your direct sales company. You are a unique individual person with a unique gift and ability. You may be aligning yourself with this direct sales company for a period of time for financial gain, for whatever reason, because you really like the product, but you didn't create it. It's not your company. You're just a representative of the company. And you have no idea really what's going on behind the doors. Like I can't believe Clever Container, like literally overnight just went away. Like it just literally went away. So any of these companies that you're aligned with, they do appreciate you and you are their sales force, but they are always going to do what is in their best interest that you may not even know that's going on. So don't sell your soul to them. Don't like rearrange your whole entire life for any job, any corporation that you work for. Like you should always have your own things on the side. So that's number one. If you are thinking about getting into a direct sales company as a consultant, once you become a consultant, it is nearly impossible to go back to being a customer. So that's the rub. Once you take the, oh, you can get a discount and now all of a sudden you're a consultant, you're no longer a customer. You are now a consultant. You are a representative of the business. So if you don't want to do it as a job anymore, it's very rare that you can then step out of that and deactivate and still enjoy the product and buy the product as a customer. So you just need to know that part going in. Your upline, just prepare your upline and roll your downline up. You do that, and you will do that when you leave the company. And then when you leave the company, if it's no longer fulfilling your mission, vision, and values for your life anymore, if you're not an active consultant, get rid of your paper, sell your inventory, give your supplies to your downline, and let them continue on in their business and be okay with it. Like, be grateful for the experience and all of the good things that you got from that time and move on. It is okay to move on. It's hard though. I don't know why it's hard in direct sales. I think that we in direct sales, once you become a consultant, become so ingrained in the mission, vision, and values of the company that you represent that you take it on yourself. And in order to sell a direct sales product, you really have to drink the Kool-Aid. You have to really believe that your product is better than every other product out there on the market. I'm just going to tell you, they're all good products. It's not like one product is horrible and the other one is gold. They're very similar products. It's just different name brands. Coke and Pepsi. You like one, you don't like the other. Same with these essential oils or workout routines or jewelry companies. It's not like one has the cure for cancer and the other one is going to give you cancer. They are just variations. It's Nike or Adidas. It's Coke or Pepsi. It's Jif or Skippy. Like, they're just different brands. And you've aligned yourself with one brand. But because we get motivation and recognition and friends and trips. And let me just tell you, if you think you are marketing well to your customers as a consultant, your home office, their number one company, their number one customer is you. Whatever company you represent, their customer is not your customer. You are their customer. When they get you as a consultant, you are their customer and they market to you 24/7. They're in your email inbox. You've joined all of their groups. You go to their national convention. You get their magazine. They've got a new product every month. You buy it every month to show your customers. Whether or not you sell it to your customers, you always buy it. You are their customer. So you went from being a customer of a consultant to a customer of the company. And it's really hard to going back to being a customer of the consultant. Sorry. I knew I would have a lot to say about that one. And so I do think that this is another thing I've learned more recently. When we were struggling financially, and I had 9 Schedule C's on my tax return in 2011, because I was legitimately doing 9 different jobs to earn income, because 50% of our take-home pool was going to medical. I was also clipping coupons and sending in rebates and signing up for credit cards to save 20% when I was shopping at this store. I was doing all of those things. All of those things will save you money. Being a consultant, theoretically, will save you money. However, they all have an opportunity cost. You never get something for free, period. You never get something for free. So we went and took, I take Hunter to daycare in the morning and Greg picks him up in the afternoon. And I said to Greg, okay, it's going to be like, it's like $170, ridiculous. I said, it's going to be a lot of money. Because we need the heartworm and we need the flea thing and I got his nails trimmed. So just be prepared. So he picks it up and he brings it home and he says, oh, these have rebates. I said, great. Those are yours. And I moved them over to his side of the counter. One was for $5 off and the other one was for $20 off or $7 and $20. So that's $27. That's not no money, right? This is not my first rodeo. I have filled out so many rebate forms, extra credit authorizations, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, that's a solid 30 minutes to do those. And I have the time. I don't want to spend it that way. And my husband comes home from work and he's got like 6 hours before bed and he literally does nothing. Like, he watches TV. Like, I'm like, you know what? If he wants the $27, he could fill out that form. It took him over an hour to fill out those 2 forms. He was like, this isn't worth it. I was like, exactly. It's not worth it. Sometimes the discount in direct sales is not worth it. Sometimes signing up for the credit card is not worth it. Sometimes clipping the coupons, not worth it. I gave up clipping coupons, I think it was over a year ago. It's like free money, you guys. They send you free money in the newspaper that you just clip out and you take it and you like get it at the grocery store. It's like, why wouldn't you do a coupon? So we would do coupons and I was like, you know what? I think I'm done with couponing. And then I would get the grief from Greg, you know, it's free money. We should do it. And it was taking me a long time and we were not buying that much groceries. And so I was spending so much time clipping coupons and then they'd be expired. And then I have to clip them again and buying stuff that we had coupons for that we didn't want anyway. I was like, I bet we're going to save money just not even doing coupons. We were to the point where we were only saving like $6 or $8 each time we went. But if you add that up, that's like, I don't know, what is that? A lot of money. For the year, it's a lot of money, right? $6 or $8. But I no longer wanted to find the coupons every single Sunday, organize them, go through them. We don't do coupons anymore. It's freeing to not do coupons anymore. Yes, we spend $6 to $8 more per week on groceries than we used to, but our grocery bill is going down every single week because our kids are like on their own now. And I eat a Wendy's salad. So, you know, it's $5. That's how much it is. I go and I get it every single day. When you are going to earn money or save money, you are giving up time for that. And in this case, the majority of the time, if you're only signing up to a direct sales company to earn a discount and not do it as a business, you are going to spend that discount in buying stuff you wouldn't have bought because you are being sold to, or because now you have to hit a minimum and now you have turned your hobby and your social outlet into a job. There's no way around it. It doesn't matter how much fulfillment you get out of it. You are no longer a customer. You are now an employer. And do you still want this? So this goes right along with what we were talking about in the beginning. When you're looking at how you spent your time on all these different things, if you were asked to do it again today, would you say yes? So if you were asked to join this direct sales company again today, would you say yes? This is not discounting the joy and the fulfillment and everything that you learned while being part of that company or while volunteering for school or while volunteering at church. I'm not saying if you had to do it over again, would you not do it? That's not the question I'm asking you. I'm saying if you were asked today to sign up again from scratch right now and spend the next year of your life doing that thing, would you say yes? And if you would not say yes, can somebody else do it? Yes, somebody else can sell this direct sale stuff. So you can let it go. All right. Next week, we're going to be talking about what it's like when you're not doing normal parenting. There is nothing like the energy of spring. As you capitalize on this magic seasonal energy, I would like to help you figure out how to make that energy last all year long. I know, it's a tall order, but we can extend these natural seasonal highs. My new masterclass, 3 Reasons You Can't Get Organized and What to Do About It, will unpack where you've gotten stuck in the past and what you can do to finally get organized. We will unpack why what you used to do to keep organized isn't working right now, where you are in the cycle of organization, and how your current season of life comes into play in your organizational goals. Join me by signing up at organize365.com/masterclass, and we do have day and evening masterclasses available. I can't wait to see you online.